Thanks, guys. That was great. It's interesting sometimes, and Sherry, step in. I want you to hear this minute. Step in here just a second. They were talking about the song they just sang. It talked about fear and courage and God's strength that we have. Last night as I was reading my devotional before I went to sleep, this was the passage. It was Joshua 1:7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And it says, our God's tender love for his servants makes him concerned for the state of their inward feelings. He desires them to be of good courage. Some esteem it a small thing for a believer to be vexed with doubts and fears, but God thinks not so. From this text, it's plain that our master would not have us entangled with fears. And it goes on with that. It's just neat that you follow with this song this morning after that was the devotion last night. So sometimes God puts things together in unique ways. So, well, that's all I got to say on that. We're back, we're home, we're safe, and I had a fantastic trip. I want to push this just a minute. Next Sunday, please, please come and join us for our service. It is going to be a recap. It is going to be kind of talking about what went on last week, the things that we did, the various things we got into, the crazy group of people that were with me and the crazy things they did. It should be a good time. I will say this, any stories that you hear about me are greatly exaggerated. But it was a super, super trip. You know what? Most importantly, we appreciate all the prayers. And I know there were people praying because we were at times in some positions that were not the safest. There were times where we had concerns perhaps something dangerous could happen. And truthfully, there were times with the team when we just said, really, Lord, we don't have any more strength. You know, and we just kind of maybe even looked at each other and says, I got nothing. But it was a great trip. I'm not going to spoil it by telling too much about it. I'm going to ask the team next week to share and to share their experience. But this is something really cool because we had incredible food out there. Now, if you know me, I love food. I'm not real picky. I love food. But we had incredible, delicious Mexican food that is just awesome, off the charts. And I got some green chilies, which you guys probably don't even know what they are because you can't get them around here. Not the true green chilies. But it was a great time. So, following our service next week, when we get done, we want you to have a taste of New Mexico. So, one of the things we're going to be doing is following the service, we're going to be fixing fry bread. And with the fry bread, you make what's called a Navajo taco. So, we're going to make Navajo tacos next week. And they will not be, for those of you who don't do the real spicy hot stuff, they won't be, but I will say this, there will be some hot, spicy stuff here. But if you don't put it on yours, you won't have to have it. So not everybody likes it the way I do. Plan on being here. Invite a friend. It's going to be fun. Today is Mother's Day, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. I really want to express that. Mothers are special, and one of the things I see in life and in places I go and things that I do, I see the heart of a mother. I know of a woman that is she's a police officer, and I've told her this. I said, I don't know how you pull it off. She's a police officer and does an outstanding job. She's a mother and is involved in the activities of her children and where they're going and what they're doing. Somehow she makes it. She is a wife, and her husband have their date nights and spend time together. And she has all of these roles that she takes on, and that's a mother. And she doesn't complain. And then I think of Donna, or I think even of my mother, and just different ones, and how a mother's heart is so special. You know, one thing I learned a long time ago, never, never, never come between a mother and her child. All right, that's a good way to get hurt, and it's not a great thing. And even in the animal kingdom, I mean, you get between a bear cub and a mama bear, and it's not going to be fun. But today, we're going to learn something. And today, what we're working on, what we're going to learn, I called it Mommy 101. Because sometimes we miss things as parents, and it's not just mommy, it's dad too. So sometimes we need to come back to the Word and find out what God says, what His plans are, what He has prepared for us so that we understand what it is to be a parent. And in this course today, of course, it is Mommy 101. So as we study, I hope you follow and that it kind of makes sense to you. The first preacher that ever came to his town was stoned and left for dead by an angry mob. You see, Zeus was worshipped in that town. There was a temple erected for Zeus just outside the city gates, and no one wanted to hear about Jesus. His dad wasn't a Christian. As a matter of fact, his dad didn't really believe in God. Unless it was some god like Zeus. He grew up mingling with the upper crust of society. He mingled with the disbelieving intellectuals of his day. He knew all their philosophies, all their teachings, and he knew how they laughed at the idea of God. And in spite of all of this, the man was eventually ordained as a minister. And he was such a sincere and godly man that he gained the respect of all the Christians in his hometown. You know, often it's easy to travel out of town and get the short-term respect of people that you have as a Christian. It's easy to travel to a mission field somewhere else and spend time there and get the respect as a Christian. But to do so in your own home and in your own hometown, that's huge. That's huge. And it's not easily done because the thing is, in your home and in your hometown, they see what you're doing. But this young man, he had the respect of the people at home. He was so authentic. He was so real. He was so honest that those that knew him best, those that lived and worked with him, respected him. Sometimes I've wondered, if we were to go up and knock on the door of your neighbor or knock on the door of a coworker and said, can you tell me about the Christian life of so-and-so? I sometimes wonder what you would hear. You mean they're a Christian? No, you're talking about somebody else. There's truth in that. There's truth in that. But the times that we've thrown fits, the times that we've let words slip out of our mouth that are profane, and sometimes they're profane, and we're sorry that somebody else heard those words. Well, think about this. Our Heavenly Father hears those words. Those words that just flow so easily. Very often people will let something fly, and they'll look at me and they'll say, oh, sorry, Pastor. And my response is, you don't need to apologize to me. You need to apologize to the one you offended. It's harder to be what you want to be when you're at home. Well, this microphone's gonna drive me crazy today. God eventually called this young man as an evangelist. The Apostle Paul, the man who wrote, you know, nearly half of the New Testament, called him a brother. He called him a companion and a comfort. And Paul used Timothy as an ambassador and gave him the most difficult jobs. When the church in Corinth began to backslide and to get into trouble, Paul sent Timothy to help restore the church. When the church in Thessalonica began to face severe persecution, he sent Timothy to encourage and to strengthen the Christians there. And all of the Christians preachers and missionaries in the first century, of all of them, Paul chose Timothy to serve as his representative. He even called Timothy God's fellow worker. And it's a pretty high compliment from the man that God used to successfully spread the gospel among the Gentiles in the first century. But he called Timothy God's fellow worker. But tell me, as we think about it, how could a boy with a non-Christian dad, like Timothy had, how could a boy from the environment he grew up in, how could such a boy grow up to be used so mightily by God? How could it happen? What was it that prepared him to be used by God in such a great way? What was it that trained and prepared him to help so many people? What was it that guided him and so helped him to really make his life count for something? Is that what we want? Would we like for our lives to count for something? I'd like to think so. Let me ask you this. What will protect your children today? What will protect your children when violence and sex and selfishness is piped into our homes daily? And used to, we would say, through radio and TV. Folks, today is piped into our homes through these little phones that we hold in our hands, through these little tablets that we carry, through the computers in our homes. And garbage, garbage, garbage is there. It's available. It's seen. It's enticing. And young people and children are falling for it. Parents are taking, and I'm sorry, this is a gripe, and you're probably going to hear more about it. I am not here to offend, just to tell the truth. Parents are taking little phones or little tablets and giving them to their kids and say, here, watch this or play this or do this. Just don't bother me. They're like, watch this movie. Stay out of my way. Do this, do that. I saw a documentary and then I read a study on this. And parents, I want you to know this before I go on, and I know it's a side note, but it's important. We are creating a society that has a new addiction that has never existed before. Sociologists and psychiatrists all agree, and there's documentation on this, that the era of the media that we have today, we are teaching our children to be addicts. And they are literally becoming addicted to that box, that game, that phone. And it's a new addiction, and psychiatrists are trying to figure out, what do we do? By the way, parents, you have the same addiction, many of you. You cannot sit down without pulling that box out and start pushing buttons. You can't sit at the table. You can't sit in the living room. You can't sit in a circle where anybody else is without pulling that thing out and looking at it. It's an addiction. And if you don't think it is, take your cell phone, take your computer, take your tablet, put it on a shelf for a day, and don't touch it. Oh, well, wait a minute. I'm important, Pastor. You see, I have to get these phone calls. All right, if the phone rings, answer it. But put the phone away and see if you can do it. Now, I'm going to be very, very honest with you. That's something I had to do myself. Because Donna, and she's not in here right now. Oh, there she is. Because Donna pointed it out. You see what you're doing? Why, you sit down, you pull your phone out. Oh, man. Or your iPad. And I decided there's a time to do it and a time not to. And we're taking the same thing. And parents, you're doing it. You're the model. Your kids see it. As we're sitting here right now, there's people on their iPads playing. They're on their phones playing because we can't put them away. Parents, I'll just say it flat out. That is very, very poor parenting. It's lousy. And you cannot be a good example to your children if you're doing it yourself. Okay, now everybody's mad at the pastor and wishes he'd go back to New Mexico. I tell you these things because they're important. Our kids are not developing, and our children are not developing because we're handing them an addiction. And it's not like handing them a pill or a drug, but it's this new media. And it's sucking the life out of them. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to get along in society because we've handed this to them, because we don't want to be parents. Now, I know you're not sitting here saying, I don't want to be a parent. But your actions are the things that make a difference. Man, I love you, and I don't apologize for what I'm saying because it is the truth, but I have no intention of stepping on toes. What's going to protect your children today? With sex, violence, selfishness, all this being piped in the homes in so many ways. What will direct them? What's going to encourage them? What's going to train and tutor them when the world teaches them to get all we can get? What will protect our children when suicide has become one of the leading causes of teen death? Did you catch that? Suicide, one of the leading causes of teen death. Who's going to protect your children? What will protect our children and help them become growing, contributing members of society who make the most of their lives, when many of their friends are escaping reality through drugs and alcohol use? It's the same thing, folks, that protected and helped Timothy when he grew up in a world much like ours. It is love and guidance from a godly mother. If you want to protect your child, if you want to help your children to become all that God intended them, then what you want to do is look in Scripture and learn what Scripture has to say about it. And today we're going to be taking a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to be reading a lot of passages from that. And you can follow if you want to. This is terrible. You can follow on your phones or you can follow your Bible. whatever you have. I'm not saying there's not a purpose. I'm calling it Mommy 101, and it's being the mother that God intended you to be. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 5, it says this, I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul is writing this. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. In these verses, Paul is reminiscing about days long ago, long past, and about the time he spent with Timothy. In these verses, we find several ingredients for successful parenting or successful mothering. And the first requirement of a godly mother, the first requirement is called sincerity. It shows up in verse 5. And in verse 5, Paul says, I remember your sincere faith in which was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. If you're going to make a difference for the good of your child's life, if you are going to help him become all that God intended, if you're going to help her make a difference in her life, then number one, you must be sincere. You must have a sincere faith. The word sincere means real. It means without pretending or pretense. It means what you see is what you get. It means what you claim, you believe, what you show the world is also what you show your children at home. That hurts. You know, sometimes I look at myself and that hurts. Am I the same person at home with my children as I am in church on Sunday morning? I would hope to say most of the time I am, but I'm not going to say 100% of the time. Am I the same person that I should be? If you ask Dustin and Dana, they'll both tell you, hey, Dad is not perfect. And they both have their criticisms and things that they've seen. But God has taken us a long way. In Philippians 4:9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, if you're going to make a positive difference in your child's life, you need to practice what you preach. By the way, I'm just curious. When do we get to not be a parent anymore? Never. A parent, that's a life commitment. We never get that choice of saying, I'm no longer a parent. We do get a choice of saying, my children are growing, my children are getting older, and I have to relate to them in a different way, but we are always parents. Mothers, you are always a mother. Several years ago, pastoring on a mission in New Mexico, and we had a pretty sizable youth group out there. And I did my best to try to teach the teenagers that I worked with that, you know, a relationship with Jesus Christ could really make a difference in their lives. And I wanted them to understand Jesus. And I wanted them to understand what Jesus could do. And that even though they were living in very poor conditions there on the reservation, that Jesus had a plan. And I did my best to try to show them how putting Jesus first in their lives would make their lives a whole lot better. Do you know what the main obstacle was that I ran into trying to teach the teens about a real life with Jesus? The main obstacle. It was their parents. And many of the parents said one thing and acted one way when they went to church, if they went to church, but they didn't act or behave that same way at home or out in public. I'll never forget one of the leaders in the church, and I've shared this story, and we'd had some heavy rains and some flooding down through the Perky, and the kids were standing down on a bridge throwing rocks in the Perky. It's no big deal, nothing wrong. And for some reason, this man, this leader in the church, saw the kids there. He stopped his vehicle, and he got out, and he started yelling at them and fussing at them for standing on the bridge with the water washing under it. And then he started cussing at them. They learned a lot from him that day as he was a leader in the church. Folks, what do you do? Parents, mothers, do they see the same thing on the streets and at home that you want to pretend to have them see here? They see right through you. They see right through you. Folks, we need to be real with our children. And all the nonsense about do what I say and not what I do. How many of you ever heard that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do what I say, not what I do. That doesn't work. That's nonsense, and it's not going to cut it. If Jesus really is the answer for the world today, then act like it. If Jesus needs to be the priority in your child's life, then he had better be a priority in your own life. Christianity isn't taught, it's caught. And it's only caught as you live the life you should. If you're going to help your child, then there must be sincerity. And not only must there be sincerity, but there must also be encouragement. 2 Timothy 1, verses 2 and 3. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Encouragement must be faithful. Encouragement. Notice, if you will, the name the man Paul was writing to and who in this verse he addressed. Paul spoke to Timothy. Now, the name Timothy means one who honors God. How'd you like to have that name? Hi, I'm Timothy. I'm one who honors God. That's a heavy load to carry. And it's obviously, though, since Timothy's dad wasn't a Christian or even feared God, that it wasn't his idea to give his son such a name. It was his mother, Eunice's. She had high expectations for her son from the get-go. She gave him a name that would encourage him and drive him forward. And there's sadly many parents today who spend their time putting their children down. How many parents have ever put their children down? I'm the only honest one here. Well, maybe two of us. You're never going to succeed at anything. You want to study what? There's no money in that. Why don't you go for this degree or that? I'm sorry, I'm just picking on my kids, who I'm very proud of and I love a great deal. You're going out for what sport? Wait a minute. You're joining the marching band. You haven't played an instrument for 5 years, but because it'll get you out of gym class, you're going to go with the marching band? True story, and it happened in my house. You've got to be kidding me. But you know what? When she was playing, I went and watched her march. I think she was faking it, truthfully. I think she was just holding that flute there. I don't know that any music was coming out. But parents, you know, putting the kids down, that's not good. Telling them that they're not any good, telling them that they will never amount to anything. And there's parents today who tell their children that they're inconveniences. I wish I'd never had you. Because you changed my life. You are such an inconvenience. What a terrible thing to tell your child. Telling them that they're no good. And folks, you need to spend some time encouraging your children. You need to spend some time lifting them up. And that doesn't matter what age they are. Studies have shown that students who are encouraged and praised perform much better on the skills tests than children who are not praised. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the other one will lift up his companion. Woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Parents, mothers, you need to be the other for your child. You need to be the one to pick him up and to dust him off. You need to be the one to encourage him or her when she's down. You need to be your child's biggest cheerleader. Rah, rah, go, go, yay, yay, Dana and Dustin. They're like, oh man, we're really getting it today. They're the only two I can say that. They're my kids, so. If you're going to make a positive difference in your child's life, there has to be sincerity, and there has to be encouragement, and there must be discipline. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, it says this, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Children need discipline. They need correction. Parents, mothers, your children need to know that there are guidelines that they must live by and that there are consequences to be faced when those guidelines are ignored and when the rules are broken. You know, it gets me. They actually have a thing on with the police department. It's called MRAI. MRAI, Minor Requiring Adult Intervention. So a policeman will get a call. It comes from dispatch. A mother calls in and she says, I can't make my 8-year-old get out of bed and go to school this morning. So they call the police for an MRAI. And the police go and they walk in and they say, get out of bed. Kid gets out of bed. You're going to school. Okay. No pretense. And then the parents wonder why, as the kids get older, they have no control. and why the kids get into trouble, and why they disrespect authority. M-R-A-I. You wouldn't believe the things that we see. I want to share this in the line of discipline, because I just want you to know that there's nothing wrong with spanking your child. There is a lot of stuff wrong with beating your child. There's tons wrong with beating your child. Don't ever do it. You have been given the rod of correction. If you love your children, you discipline your children. And you discipline them in a way that they know there's consequences for their actions. Not everything requires a spanking. Not everyone should be quick to grab something and give them a spanking. But there are some things, and you establish those parameters. You know, your children actually want parameters, because that makes them feel secure. Inconsistency from a parent is very confusing, even frightening. You're the force that defines their world and their behavior that'll get them through this world. Have enough guts to teach your children the guidelines that you will reinforce, and that's a way of giving them stability. Many people today, even adults, believe that anyone who corrects them, anyone who punishes them or keeps them from doing what they want is just trying to spoil their fun. They refuse to see that when police officers enforce the law, or that when God punishes people, that it is for their own good. Many people cannot see that God disciplines because He loves. And why is that? It's because many children have never had parents who loved them enough to discipline them. Did you hear that? Who loved them enough to discipline them. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever refuses to spank his son hates him. But whoever loves his son disciplines him from early on." Parents, discipline your children. By the way, moms, that means you as well. Setting guidelines and setting parameters for your children and then enforcing them, not just the responsibility, it's not the responsibility of just dad alone. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." Giving and enforcing guidelines is the responsibility of mothers and dads. Moms, your child needs discipline. Discipline them. And if you don't make them obey in the home, then that child is going to will not learn to obey the law or civil authority or even the Lord. And if you're going to help your children make a difference in the world, there must be sincerity, there must be encouragement, there must be discipline, and there also needs to be this thing called unconditional love. Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Unconditional love. And in these verses, Paul says that nothing can separate us from Christ. In other words, God's love is unconditional. Tell me, where's your child going to learn unconditional love? If you don't model it for them at home, mom or dad, where? They aren't going to learn it at school. The teacher will back them as long as they do well in class. The coach will back them as long as they do well in whatever sport they might be in. Their friends will back them as long as they go along with the crowd. Tell me, Where will they ever learn unconditional love if you don't model it for them? You need to love your child. And you need to show your child that love, and regardless of how they are doing in school, you still love them. You need to show your child that you love them regardless of what they did to the car the last time they had it. You need to show your child that you love them regardless of how many times that maybe as a baby you've had to change their clothes. You need to show your daughter you love her regardless of what kind of guy she drags in. Is seeing. You ever been in a position where you know you're going to hear about this later? Yeah, sometimes it stimulates conversation and we put the phones away and we actually talk. Make your expression of love, make it physical. Hug and hold your children. All across America, thousands of people meet daily in these therapy groups with the main purpose of contacting and touching one another, even if it's just to hold hands. Every person is born with a basic human need to be touched by others. Parents, show your children unconditional love and let them experience it physically. Give them a hug. I brag on my children and Dustin being almost 35. Almost. I love the fact that whenever Dustin leaves, he gives me a hug. He's heading back home, he gives me a hug. And he has no idea how good that is for me and no idea how good it is for himself. Show your children unconditional love and let them experience those hugs. Can you let your son see your disappointment with some of the choices he makes? Yeah, you can. God is disappointed with some of the choices that you and I make. Can you discipline your child when he steps over the line? Yes. God will do the same for you and me, but never, never, never make your child think that you do or do not love them. They need to know the love is there. Because of what they have done or have not done, you still love them. Do we get mad at them sometimes? Yeah, we do. And I've used a phrase like this before, and you can make of it what you want, but at times when I've been super angry or super upset with them, I've said things like, I love you, but I'm not really happy with you right now. There's a difference. I love you, but I'm not really happy with you right now. And then that day came when it fired back at me, and one said, I love you, but I'm not really happy with you right now. Ouch! But that's the way it works. It's got to be unconditional love. Parents, moms, show that to your kids. Moms, in your home, there needs to be sincerity. In your home, there needs to be encouragement and discipline and unconditional love. But you need to also model before your children the proper attitude. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And then in Ephesians 5, 18 and 20, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever see someone who rolls out of bed in the morning and instead of saying, good morning, Lord, they say, good Lord, it's morning. You ever hear people do something like that? Or you ever hear people say, well, this is a bad day, like God made some kind of a mistake. This is not a bad day, it's a good day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Parents, moms, you need to have the right attitude about work, about life, about your day, and you need to model that attitude for your children. God has not given you a bad life, folks. You may have made bad decisions. You may not be where you want to be, but God has given you everything that is good and right and great for your life. Open your eyes and see it. I am an idealist. I love being an idealist because it allows me to see the good in everyone and everything. I have a problem with realists because they see the bad in everything and say, oh, that's just the real thing. Listen, God has given you everything you need. Life is good. Don't go around complaining all day about the things you don't have. Spend your time thanking God for the things you do have. Don't go around emphasizing the negative. Bring out the positive. Don't complain about what a terrible man or a terrible provider your husband is. Point out for your children that their dads or what their dad's good points are. Teach them to respect and honor. Don't go around all the time complaining about your job or about the chores that you have to do. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. Let your children see that there is glory in all work. You know what? When we were down working on the mission, and I know it's a lot easier to do it for 1 week away from home, but when we were down working on the mission, we were breaking sweat, we were getting tired, muscles hurt, backs hurt, equipment wasn't right, all kinds of stuff like that. But everybody was working for the Lord. And you know what? I didn't hear people complaining about the jobs that needed to be done or complaining about the fact of where we were. We'd gone there to work. Why can't we do this at home? God has given you a job. He has provided for you. He has provided a way. Why go around and grumble and complain about it? Don't go around acting like life has cheated you and like the world owes you something. I've got a hot tip for you. If you go... somebody got to show me how to block these messages. Anyway, if you go around with a chip on your shoulder thinking, woe is me all the time, folks, you're going to be miserable. If you teach your children to go around thinking that someone owes them something all the time, then they're going to have miserable lives as well. How much complaining and griping do your kids hear? And I don't care what age they are. How much do you gripe? You complain about the neighbor, or you complain about a family member, or you complain about work, or you complain about money, or you complain about this, that, and the other thing. You're just teaching them to be miserable in life. For crying out loud, folks, sing. And praise the Lord and get excited about your day and about your God. And teach your children to sing. Teach them what it is to praise. Moms, teach your children to have a positive attitude. And that's best done by modeling it yourself. There must be sincerity. There must be encouragement. There must be discipline. There must be unconditional love and the right attitude. But the most important ingredient that you must have and the most important item there must be is teaching. And the first item you teach your children is about God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. While evil men, impostors, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Teach them about God. In verse 13, Paul warns Timothy that there are going to be imposters coming in the future. And he then tells him the best defense against those imposters is to remember the truths that he learned from his child, that he learned from the Bible. And who was it that taught him? It was his mother and his grandmother that taught him. Mothers, teach your children about God. Teach them the stories of the Bible and then share with them the lessons to be learned from each one. Teach them. Tell them who David is. They have no idea. And tell them about how David and how God used David to rule Israel. Even though he started out just as a shepherd boy. Teach them about a man called Abraham and how God blessed him when he stepped out in faith and just followed God. Teach your children about how the Israelites disobeyed God at the Jordan River and about how they had to stay in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience. Mothers, teach your children about prayer and make the lessons real. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says that you are to teach your children the things of God when you sit at your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you get up. Mamas, don't waste the opportunities you have. For once they're gone, now hear me, once they're gone, they'll never come again. You get one shot at it, and only one. Don't waste it. When you get up in the morning, teach your child to ask for God's help and guidance that day. When you tuck your child into bed at night, teach your child to pray and to thank God for His blessings during that day. Parents, there's nothing more important for you to teach your child than to teach them about God. Teach your children. Teach them about God. Teach your children to read. And one of the most valuable things you can teach your child is to teach them the joy of reading. You do that by reading to them at first. And then as they grow and learn, they'll gradually begin to read for themselves. And you may have that Bible book or that book, and you may read it over and over and over again to the point they get it memorized, and soon they've got it memorized, so now they're reading it to you. That's all right. Teach them to read. Reading is also one way that our child can grow as a Christian. And the ability to read and to study God's Word for yourself, that's all what comes with it. It gives you a great step toward the battle and the temptations and the trials that life throws your way. The Puritans thought reading was so important that in 1647 they passed the Old Deluder Satan Act. The law stated that every community of 50 or more families had to establish a school with a teacher so that the children would learn to read. Their goal was to make it where their children could read and study the Bible for themselves so they would not be deluded by the devil. Moms, teach your children about God. Teach them to read and teach them to fend for themselves. You know, I'm grateful that growing up, my mother taught me a few things. She taught me how to cook. I'm hesitant to say the next one. She taught me how to do laundry. I failed that class. Donna knows it, as one time she asked me to never do laundry again. My rule is just grab it all, throw it in there, put some soap in it, and let it go. You know, see, I was a bachelor for a few years before I got married. I'd have been in quite a fix if I had gone off to school and hadn't known how to cook and to clean for myself. I know several women who cried the first month they were married because they hadn't learned to cook when they were growing up. I'm not going to say it. I know men. Let's just say one of my first meals after I got married. You didn't cry. That's true. You just let it go. Yeah. Gentlemen, you work all day. I was working for a surveyor. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And I come home to supper, and Donna is so proud because she's fixed supper. And my supper, she opened a can of corn and heated it up. And then she opened a can of prunes and heated them up. My supper was prunes and corn. And I looked at her and I said, "Thank you, honey. This is great." A couple hours later, I came up with a great idea. We needed to go to town to get an ice cream cone. While I was at the ice cream cone, I also got a sandwich and fries. But I said, "Thank you, honey." teach them to fend for themselves. And women, it's good for them to know some of these things. I do know some men today that have to eat nearly every meal in a restaurant because no one ever taught them to cook. Help your children escape from not being able to do things. Teach them to fend for themselves. So many things that you need to teach your children. You need to teach them thrift. You need to teach them to control their tongues. You need to teach them how to get along with others. You need to teach them that there is no such thing as an unimportant job. Catch that? And the importance of work. They need to know it. Teach your children. There's no more influential or powerful role on earth than that of a mother. As significant as political, military, educational, or religious public figures may be, none can compare to the impact made by mothers. Their words are never fully forgotten. Their touch leaves an indelible impression, and the memory of their presence lasts a lifetime. Abraham Lincoln was right. He said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." Tell me, ladies, are you such a mother? Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, as I stand and lift a voice of prayer this morning, I first thank you for my mother and the example she had and the things that she taught. Father, I thank you that she put up with my nonsense. I thank you, Father, for the godly mother of my children, and how she's been there for them and with them and gone through whatever battles they went through, and how she continues this day to be there for them. Lord, I pray for all of the mothers that are here or those that in the future will have their own children. I pray, Lord, that you touch their hearts and that they will start off just raising that child in the knowledge of who you are, and that they will be sincere in all that they do. That they will be encouraging, that they will provide discipline, that they would teach. And Father, even for those who maybe are here today and are missing their mother, we thank you for the lessons that were taught. So, Father, as we go, I just want to lift all of this to you. Pray your blessings on this congregation and those who are gathered. In Jesus' precious name, amen.